for Big Day Kahuna. But let's learn four or five psukim together, and let's see if we can find any ambiguities in these psukim, and then spend the next 20-30 minutes trying to figure out different possible approaches to those ambiguities and what we can learn from them. So we're told, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe, Ve'ata hakrev eilecha et Aaron achicha ve'et banavito. So bring Aaron close to you. Mitoch b'nei Yisrael achah hanoli to act as a Kohen. Aaron adav aviyu elazar v'itamar b'nei Aaron. So this pasuk is the introductory pasuk here. And now we're told, Ve'asisa bigdei kodesh la'aron achicha lechavod ulesifaras. You should make begadim, you should make the bigdei kahuna for your brother. Lechavod ulesifaras. It should be beautiful and splendor. Pasuk Gimel, Ve'ata tedaber al kol chachmei lev, and you should speak to the chachmei lev. Who do you think what are the chachmei lev? So literally the wise hearted, but what's that referring to? The artisans, the ones who have this skill, who have this ability to make these garments. Ve'ata tedaber al kol chachmei lev, Hashem mileisiv ruach chachma, that I fill them with this knowledge. Ve'asu es bigdei Aaron lekadsho lechanoli, and they should make the begadim for Aaron. Ve'ele habegadim asher yasu, and these are the garments that you should make. Choshen, ephod, me'il, ketones tashbet, mitznefes ve'avneit. You should take these eight garments. Ve'asu bigdei kodesh la'aron achicha ulevanav lechanoli, and you should take these garments, and you should make them for Aaron. So that's the four psukim, that's the command. And then we're told, next pasuk, Vehem yikru et hazahav, et hatchelif, et ha'argaman, et talat hashani, et hashesh. And now they should take all the necessary materials. Now we've heard these terms a lot throughout all of Truman Tetzaveh. Zahav, kesef, nechoshet, chelif, argaman, talat hashani. So pasuk hey here, we come across an ambiguity. What's the thing that's a little odd in this pasuk? We're told the Hem yikhu et hazahav, et hatechelet, et hagamah, et talat hashini, et hashesh. I'll give you a hint. It's bolded. Okay, the Hem. So what's odd about that?
There's the artisans or the kohanim.
Who's the Hem? The Hem yikhu et hazahav. They should take the gold. Anything else odd in this...
In this pasuk or in the five psukim?
Well, anything else odd in the pasuk? Anything else odd in the five psukim?
The five psukim. First, it says Aaron and his sons, and then it goes back to Aaron, and it only mentions the sons again at the end. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So there seems to be.
I didn't see a highlight.
Doesn't seem to be a connection. It mentions Aaron Achicha in Pasuk Aleph. It mentions Aaron Achicha in Pasuk Beis. It mentions Aaron in Gimel. It mentions Aaron Achicha in Pasuk Dalet. You'd think at some point we'd kind of know that Aaron was Moshe's brother. Like, even if it hadn't mentioned it in Pasuk Aleph, we might have figured that out. We might have remembered that Aaron was Moshe's brother. But it has to mention it in Pasuk Aleph, and Pasuk Beis, and Pasuk Dalet, and Pasuk... Seems kind of repetitive. So those are two questions to kind of keep in the back of your mind here. What's going... There seems to be a few oddities in this grouping of psukim. So first, let's deal with the first issue. So Rashi says, V'hem yikhu et hazahav. Who's the Haim? V'hem yikhu otam chochmei lev shiyasu es habigadim. Who's going to take it? The chachmei lev, who are going to make the begadim. And what are they going to do? Yikablu min ha-mitnadvim et ha-zahav et ha-tchelet ve-gomer la-asos mehen ha-begadim. So they're going to receive, who the mitnadvim? Those are the ones who donated the money to the cause. So, very nice. So Rashi's trying to solve our ambiguity of the haim. What's difficult in the Rashi? Rashi says, Vehem yikhu, let me clarify for you, who the Haim? The Chachmei Lev. Who else could it have been? Right, so what the general rule is, if you have a pronoun, right, you have an anonymous description of somebody, who, he, she, Haim, them, they will take, you go back and you look at the prior proper noun, and that's who it is. So if I said, Sally went to the store, she bought butter. Who bought butter? Sally bought butter. Vehem yikuet hazahav, they will take the gold. Who will take the gold? Well, let's look back at the prior pasuk. Dalid ve'elah habegadim asher yasu choshen ve'efodim ilu tonas tashpeis mitzvahs ve'avnei ve'asu b'dei kodesh for who? La'aron achicha. Who is the last proper noun? Aaron. Vehem yikuet hazahav. Aaron achicha ubanav. Aaron and his sons. Says Rashi. No. It's not the last proper noun. It's two proper nouns before. Vehem yikuet hazahav. So Rashi is first saying, skip the normal reading, which would have made this Aaron, and let's make it be someone else besides for Aaron. Yeah?
Yasu and Pasuk Dalet makes it easier to refer to the Chachmei Levi.
The Eileha Bagadim Asher Yasu, these are the garments that they will make. Who's the they? The they in Dalet is the Chachmei Levi in Gimel.
So therefore, it's not such a stretch to think the second.
Okay, so you're defending Rashi. Right, so what's forcing Rashi to say that the Vehem is the Chochmei Lev and not the Kohanim?
They're doing something.
Right, what are the Kohanim going to do with it? So that Rashi's dealing with a... Rashi, there's a tension here, right? The Pasuk says Vehem and it doesn't tell us who. Seemingly, we have two choices. We have choice A, which is the Chochmei Lev. That's who you would think it would be because they're the ones who are going to make the garment. That's the more logical approach. But the pure grammatical, the textual, would seem to indicate that it's Aaron, because he's the last one who's mentioned. So comes Rashi and says right away, let me clarify for you, Vehem yikuet hazahav, Vehem is not Aaron, who you might have thought, because that's who's referenced in Pasuk Dalet, but we've got to jump back to Pasuk Gimel. Now we'll see why Rashi feels he's forced to say that. The second thing that Rashi does, very subtly, is he says, the Pasuk says, Vehem yikhu. They will take. Rashi says, who's the haim? Otam chachmei lev shiyasu es habegadim. The haim is the chachmei lev, not Aaron. And then he doesn't really say anything, but then he says, v'kiblu min hamitnadvim et hazahav. V'kiblu, I thought the pasuk said, yikhu. What's the difference between that's a very different word. Right? Yikhu is that they will take. Kiblu is they will receive. Receive from who? Presumably from the people who are donating it. So Rashi very subtly says, well, we have a problem. There's a problem in the pasuk. Vehem yikhu, they will take it. What does that mean, they will take it? So Rashi says, well, when it says yikach, it really means yikabel. It really means they will receive. So just realize, the purpose of this Rashi, not really going to be the focus of the shir so much, but the purpose of this Rashi is just to demonstrate that in this one or two psukim, there are several nuances which demand attention. And Rashi deals with them. Rashi, haim, there's an ambiguity as to who the haim is, so Rashi deals with it. There's an ambiguity as to what the word yikhu means, and Rashi deals with it. Do we like Rashi's answer? Do we not like Rashi's answer? What is Rashi trying to... What problems is he trying to solve? That's all, but it's all in the pshat of Rashi, in this one, this seemingly innocent Rashi of Vehem yikhu, chochmei lev yikablu min hamitadvim. That's Rashi. The Gur Aryeh, which is a commentary on Rashi, kind of explains this. If you look at the Ramban, Rashi is the more traditional and the more common approach. If you look at Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, almost all of the Rishonim explained that Vehem is referring to who? That Vehem is referring to the chochmei lev. The artisans.
Why just necessary altogether?
Okay, so good. The pasuk seems, if you would have stopped at pasuk dalet and said, these are the begadim you should make, and never told me pasuk hey at all, what would you have been missing from the story?
Nothing.
Which I think that is also going to play into subsequent explanations of what's actually going on in this pasuk, because the pasuk seems to be crying out to be telling me just more than, you know, it's like I redid my kitchen and the contractor came and redid my kitchen. Like, I didn't really need to know that. Behem yikhuet hazav. Of course they had to take the zahav. Of course they needed to do that thing in order to make the begadim. How could you make the begadim otherwise? So there must be something else going on here in the pasuk. So I agree with you. So Rashi and so look at the Ramban for a second. Actually, what time is it? So let's skip the Ramban for the moment. The Ramban says, the Ramban takes the same approach as Rashi. Vehem yikhu is referring to the chochmei lev. And then he just goes on and he explains, he explains yikhu slightly differently. So if you flip the page to the next side, We see also just the Netziv also on the words Vehem Yikhlu, the Netziv says, what does it mean they will take? Shehem Yivcharu Hamuvchar Mikol Minim Elu LeBigdei Kahuna. So imagine everyone's donating gold, silver, tchelet, argaman, all sorts of stuff, and now you've been tasked. You've been tasked with making the begadim. So if you're a skilled artisan, what do? You open the closet and you say, okay, there's all this different gold here. And where did this stuff come from for the most part? It was mostly spoils from the Egyptians. So as a skilled artisan, you look and you say, okay, from this necklace, I can melt this down and do this and do that. So the Nesiv says that's exactly what happened. They brought the haim is who? It's the artisans. They brought them into this big room and they said, now take what you need in order to make what you need to make, in order to make the begadim. And again, the Netziv is focusing on the yikhu. It's a strange word, yikhu. Rashi just switched it to yikablu. You'll just accept whatever they give you and then make clothing. The Netziv says, no, the yikhu is there to teach you something. It's there to teach you how the story actually happened. They went into this, you know, they selected the different things and they made it. But again, the Netziv is clearly saying what? Vehem is who? It's the Chochmei Lev. So Rashi, the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, the Netziv, all seem to be arguing that Vehem is the Chochmei Lev. And that seems to be Pshutu, Kimashma, oh, that's what you, if I would have woken you up in the middle of the night and I said, and I read you these Psukim, I would have said to you, who is the Heim Yikhu? You would have told me it's the Chochmei Lev. That's why it's so odd. If you look at the Targum HaMiyuchas Leonasan, right, so this is, more accurately, the Targum Yerushalmi, which is one of the Aramaic translations on the Chumash. So he translates Vehen yikhu et hazahav, Vehenach yisuvun, and they shall take min mamon hon from, and the English here translates it as min mamon hon, from their treasure, but what does mamon really mean? Money. They should take from their money yat dahava, the gold, yat chela, yat argaman, yat tzva. So the Targum Yonasan adds in a very strange two words here. Right, he says the heinan yisvun, they should take min mamon hon, from their money. So first of all, just to point it out, both Targum Unkelus and Targum Yonasan, although they are translations of the Chumash, they are really commentators and commentaries on the Chumash. Targum Unkelus is much more literary translation, and he's much more word for word, and really just in the pshat. Targum Yonasan oftentimes brings in midrashic or halachic additions into the text. So as he's translating, he will throw in different, sometimes midrashic stories, sometimes additional clarification, and depending on who, depending on which of the sources you look at, what I mean, the Targum into Aramaic was really the way Kriyas HaTorah used to be more interesting, because the Baal Kori would read the Torah, and then the guy standing next to him would give immediate commentary, would translate it into Aramaic, and the Targum Yonasan would say, not only was it a translation, actually some additional stories and some additional color. So if you've ever been in a shul where like, you know, the rabbi before each aliyah gives like a little intro, but instead of before each aliyah, it was before each pasuk. So Targum Yonasan says, V'hinun yusfun min mamon hon. So, according to the Targum Yonasan, who's the Haim? Okay, one option. I think there are three options. According to the Targum Yonasan, why do you say B'nai Yisrael? They should take from their money. So it could be B'nai Yisrael. Who else could it be? Could be the Kohanim. Right? They should take from their money. And who's the third possibility? Third possibility is perhaps the Chochmei Lev. Right? Just because it means from their money doesn't mean it can't be the Chochmei Lev. The implication is that it might not be the Chochmei Lev. But it doesn't mean it can't be the Chochmei Lev. I think all three of those... We had a pronoun, they will take. Targum Yonasan just makes our lives more complicated by adding another pronoun. They will take from their money. So now, so who, yes?
Is it possible that Targum Yonasan is telling you not to take from the spoils of Egypt? Meaning it should be something that more belongs to you as opposed to what you obtained, or no? It's possible, but I think...
It's
not according to this
story. Where would they have this promise?
I think it's kind of like... It's a tough job, because where else are they were slaves? Where else are they going to get this gold? It's like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Avraham says to Melech Stone, So that people won't say that stone made me wealthy. But it's kind of like, where'd you get the rest of the money? You got your other money from the king of Mitzrayim, you got your other money from the king of Plishtim. Like, you know, it doesn't matter where it came, you know, it's now in your possession, so it doesn't necessarily matter where it came from. So it's their money. Where did it come from? It came from the Egyptians. I don't know, maybe. But
that's a being in Truma. Is that why it says being in Truma? Because although Hashem didn't need, the Rashi says it there, Hashem didn't need, if you needed the money, you would get it.
Right.
My client's going to give it, even though it was only recently theirs anyway.
So you're saying Mimamon Hon is part of the, it's like Vikuli Truma, is Kolish, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Targum Yonasan, is emphasizing the fact that God wanted the contribution from the people. Okay, but they already gave so much of their other contributions from their Truma. So the question is, what is Targum Yonasan adding from Mimamon Hon? Does it clarify our understanding of the Pasuk? Or does it tell us the Pasuk? Does it really tell us the Pasuk is saying something else? And how do we understand Targum Yonasan? So if you look in the next source, which is Haksav VeHaKabbalah, so this is by Rabbi Yaakov C. Mecklenburg, a relatively recent Achron, about 150 years ago. So he says, V'dash ra'iti davar chadash b'Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. You should know that I found a chiddush in the Targum Yonasan. Shetir game kan, he translated here, V'heinan yasfun mimam unhon yasta hava v'chulu. Shemivur midvarav she'ein v'hem yichumusav al-chach me'lev. It's clear from his words. I'm not sure I agree with the topic about that. It's clear from his words. But he says it's clear from his words. She'ein v'hem yichumusav al-chach me'lev. She'ein kodem dekodem b'mikra. Right? So he's saying they were the prior proper noun. Ki lo hitchayvu ha'umanim latet mishel atzmam kol zahav v'atcheles v'gomer kidei tzorach bigdei aron uvanav aval humusav al aron uvanav hasmuchim lemikra zeh. So he says, so just to restate what he says, he's saying that when the Targum Yonah says they should take from their money, it doesn't mean the Chochmei Lev, the way Rashi and the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra translated it. Rather, it means from the Kohanim's money, which is the immediately preceding Pasuk, right? And then it says, Vehem. So who's the Vehem? They should take. So Ksaver Kabbalah says that Targum Yonasan is saying they should take from their money, the Kohanim should take from their money. And what's his proof? He says, well, if they should take from their money meant the Chochmei Lev should take from their money, Chochmei Lev raised their hand and say, wait a second, I'm just here to make the clothing. No one said I had to pay for the clothing. Right? Why do the Chochmei Lev have to come out of their own pockets and pay for the clothing? They're contributing their time and their talent and their labor. Why do they have to pay for it? It doesn't make any sense.
I always visualize it. They already got the truma from everybody. Mm-hmm. Everything was there already. The Siyam gave the Shoah. Everything was there. Everything is very strong in the storehouse. Now they're just going to pick it up. They're not giving anything new.
Right. So there are contradicting midrashim on how exactly the process went and whether, in fact, different people contributed to the raw materials of the Mishkan versus the raw materials of the Big Day Kahuna. Right, and depending on where they came from,
they didn't know when they collected everything. They didn't know what was going where, what they were going to make.
Perhaps. So let's take a give me 1 minute. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says this is clearly talking about that Aaron and the children. Vehem Yikhu means refers to Aaron and the children. So then he points out, he says, Im kain ledasya bia omer big day aron uvanav lo hayu ba minid vas tzibur. If that's true, then who donated to the begadim? Not the whole nation, but rather who? It was just the Kohanim, right? Just the Kohanim. Now, does that set off any alarm bells? It should, because we seem to have other psukim that imply that, as you were suggesting, that everything came from the people. And that it was very important that the people donated to everything. Because the Mishkan was supposed to be representative of the people, right? It was It was a communal project, and that's why it was so important. And it was supposed to be mechaper on the people. And that's why it was so important that everything came from the people. So the Ksava Kabbalah points out, it says, wait a second, how could the Targum Yonasan be saying that it came from the Kohanim? That seems to contradict a whole host of sources. And it contradicts the Pasuk that says, the Pasuk later on, where we say, Vayavo kol ish asher nasuli bo v'chol asher nadvar yilcho oso, heviu es trumas Hashem lemelechis o hamohed, ulechol avodoso, ulebigdei hakodesh. So clearly it seems that the big day kahuna also were donated by the people. And we have another Pasuk in Ezra, where it says, at least with respect to Bayis Sheni, hitnadvu lebeis halokim leotzer hamalacha uketonas kohanim. And Rashi says, l'sharis bam, that we're talking about the big day kahuna. And the Rambam says, echad big day kohen gadol, echad big day kohen hejot, ba'im mitrumas halishka. Right? Umekor divei harambam is from a tosefta. Big day kohen gadol, big day kohen hejot, mitrumas halishka. He says, so clearly we have Psukim, we have a Tosefta, we have a Rambam. We have lots of sources that say that the monetary source of the Big Day Kahuna was the general fund. And that actually, I think it speaks, we were happy, we're not surprised by that, because you would think that the Big Day Kahuna should come from the general fund. So what's going on here? How do you explain Pshat in Yonatan ben Uziel that he's saying it seems to be coming from the Kohanim? So first, the Ksava Kabbalah says, well, must be a girsa problem. So anytime someone suggests that the problem is that we have the wrong words or the wrong girsa or the wrong ksav yad, that shows you have a good question. Right? So he says, well, it must be a girsa problem. But then he says, and this is actually interesting, this is a modern day commentator already, that the Ksava Kabbalah says, well, I know, I went back and I checked different kisve yad. And all the kisve yad have this girsa. So it must not be a girsa problem. We can't answer it with a girsa problem. But that notion of checking other kisve yad, that's a much more modern approach in terms of scholarship. But the Ksava Kabbalah says, so we have the right girsa. So what's going on here? So he suggests as follows. He suggests that there's a distinction between the big day kahuna that were used throughout history and the big day and these particular big day kahuna that were made for Aaron and his sons. Why do you think, now the Ksava Kabbalah doesn't really, well, why do you think there should be a distinction? Is there any tension around the construction of the Mishkan and the concept of Kohanim? Right. Korach was not so thrilled with the selection of Aaron, right? Ki kol haidak kulam kedoshim. What was really behind it, Korach's claim? Korach was claiming nepotism, right? Moshe, you got Moshe, you're the leader, and how convenient, now you made Aaron the Kohen Gadol. And by the way, now we're going to make a house for this guy, and it's going to be the most grand palace ever. And we're also going to make clothing for him, l'chavod l'sifaris. And how much is this clothing? This clothing is going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's going to be the fanciest clothing ever. And yeah, just give all that money to my brother. So what the Ksava Kabbalah suggests is, what the Targum Yonasan is explaining, is that there was a distinction between the clothing made for Aaron and his sons and for all the future Kohanim. All future Kohanim, the money came from the communal pot. But when it came to Aaron, Moshe was so concerned with people talking and saying, oh yeah, Moshe, look what you're doing. You're making your brother get all this fancy clothing, that it says, V'heim yikhu et ha-zahav et ha-telet. Who's the heim? The Kohanim. The Kohanim themselves gave Who's the Haim? The Haim is the Chachmei Lev, but they gave it out of their own pocket. And then they had to donate it kind of into the communal pot. And that was done in order to distance that argument of nepotism. And now the Ksava Kabbalah doesn't say this, but I think perhaps I'd like to suggest that it's correct. Now you go back and you look at those psukim, Va'ataha krevelecha et aharon achicha. Va'asisa vigde kodesh for who? Laharon achicha. Va'asu vigde kodesh laharon achicha. Why do the psukim keep emphasizing time and time and time again that it's aharon achicha? Because that's what leads to the next pasuk of Ve'heim yikhu et hazahav, that we're not, because it's your brother, we're not going to take from the communal funds, but rather this is going to be a private donation. Because we're concerned otherwise that people are going to say, oh, this is all about your brother. So the psukim emphasize that it's Aaron Achicha, your brother, and then that explains why Behem Yikhu et Hazahav, and they should take from their own private funds and fund it. Yep. So either, according to the, it could be either one. Either the Chachmei Lev or the Kohanim.
No, but that, no argument.
But right. If it's the Kohanim, it's Pasha. But if it's the Chachmei Lev, then they voluntarily.
Yeah, but they're told to do it, so they're not voluntarily.
Okay. Fine. So then I'd argue. Okay, right. So Nicha. Then you would say that it's the Kohanim. So the Kohanim took from their own pocket.
There's no argument.
Then there's no argument. Good point. I hear. I agree with that. So according to the Ksava Kabbalah says... Thank you. That's a good point. So according to the Ksava Kabbalah, he says the significance of the Targum Yonah on adding in the words of V'hayinu yusfun mimamonam from their money is so important in this context to demonstrate that it was not funded from the communal funds. It was funded privately. I think we've all been part of, we've all heard of different capital campaigns or different building funds where you have some fight about whether something's too expensive or not expensive enough, and then someone, okay, we've solved the problem. Someone steps up and says, I will fund that privately. Now, that creates all sorts of other issues because then it's not a communal project anymore, etc. But that's why it was only for these Kohanim, right? Only for these Kohanim. In the future, the Kohanim, the Big Day Kahuna, would be covered by all of the standard operating costs of the Mishkan. But these Kohanim right now, that was funded separately. So that's one. That is one approach.
It's very fascinating. But as you spoke, is another possibility. There was a time when Aaron the Kohen asked for money, for gold, and out came the Egel. So and now he's going to undo that.
That's very nice.
Just as you spoke, it just.
That's very nice. Right, so you say, daf, and especially for the Big Day Kahuna, which was in the Mishkan, which is supposed to be Mechaper for the Cheda Ego. So that would go back to your point in terms of, was the money from, quote-unquote, from Mitzrayim. Maybe it's not the money from Mitzrayim, but is Dafka the money, meaning he had been associated with collecting money, and now he kind of did tshuva on that by putting it back. Very good. Very good. So, all of this plays into that, but it all stems from what it means vehem, right? Vehem yikhu. So, we have 14, 15 minutes. Other commentaries struggle with this idea of who the haim is. They're all trying to solve this problem because although the Ksava Kabbalah is a very nice answer and it has all these nice hashkafic elements to it, and at the end of the day, we have many sources that it's supposed to be funded from communal funds. So it's nice that you have a chiddush that, okay, all the Big Day Kahuna are funded from communal funds except for these. Okay, we don't have a source for that. Right? There's no halach in the Rambam that says, and when they make the Mishkan, the Big Day Kahuna of Aaron and his brothers will be from private and everything else will be from public. So it's a chiddush. It's a nice chiddush. It fits into a lot of things, but it's still a chiddush. So the other Achronim and the other commentaries on Targum Yonasan take other approaches. So if you look at the Abbas Yonasan, which is on the top of page 3, he says, "V'nirali lafarish asher v'heim yikhu." Who's the heim? The heim is the Chachmei Lev, right? So we go back to the same commentary as Rashi and the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra. It says, "Heim is the Chachmei Lev, but umilav umilos mi mamon hom muspot al b'nei Yisrael haniskarim kodim." He says, "Well, we're just going to switch the heim. We said that the heim had to be." If it was the Chachmei Lev, the Heim Yikhu, they should take from their money, so it'd have to be the same. The Chachmei Lev would take from their money. If the Heim is the Kohanim will take from their money. So the Avas Yonasan says, no, wait a second, I've got two pronouns here. I can mix and match. The Heim Yikhu, the Chachmei Lev will take from their money. Who's there? From Bnei Yisrael's money. Right? So you have two pronouns. You have Heim and Heim. One Heim is Chachmei Lev. And one heim is Bnei Yisrael. So that solves the problem because now all the money funding the Big Day Kahuna are coming from communal funds. It just makes for a fairly poorly written sentence. Like if you wrote that sentence in seventh grade.
Right.
You say like, he went to the store, he bought butter. Oh, the first he was Avraham. The guy who bought the butter, that was Yitzchak. Heim yikhu et hazahav, that's the Chachmei Lev. The heim yikhu mimamonam, that's referring to Bnei Yisrael's money. So again, but everyone's struggling with the same issue. So, you know, there are very creative answers. That solves one problem. So the Abbas Yonasan solves the problem of making sure that the Big Day Kahuna, all the Big Day Kahuna, even Aaron and his son's Big Day Kahuna were from communal funds. But it leaves you in a tough place in terms of syntax, in terms of the psukim. The Griz HaLevi, so the Rav's uncle, explains. If you look down at the source closest to the bottom, Harei Demefarash Yikhu Melashon Kniya, from like a Kenyan, the Yikhu, right? We've glossed over that second problem, the Yikhu. He says that Lashon of Yikhu, that's a Kenyan. Vahainu Dinamar Bezehadin, Deha Big Day Kahuna Yihiyem Yishel Tzibur. Says the Big Day Kahuna have to be from the communal funds, like we said. And if you look generally, when it says the word v'yikhu, it often refers to from Yishel Tzibur. It says v'hem is not the chachmei lev, rather rak al b'nei Yisrael. Shebekra de'ata titzaveh. So says the Griz. Well, wait a second. The general rule is, if you have a pronoun, he went to the store, you look back at the prior source to figure out who the he is. So Sally went to the store, she bought butter. Who's the she? It's Sally. Well, says the Griz, once we're allowing people to jump around to prior sources, so why are we limiting ourselves to Pasuk Gimel, right? Rashi and the Ramban and everyone else, all the other Rishonim are saying, skip Pasuk Dalid, right? Skip Sally in my example, and go to Pasuk Gimel, the Chochmei Lev. So he says, well, once you're going to skip Pasuk Dalid, why don't we skip further back? How does the Parsha start? V'atatzitzaveh b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu elecha Hashem zayizach. Who is that referring to? That's referring to B'nai Yisrael. So the prior paragraphs, the prior sections of the Chumash in this Parsha, all refer to B'nai Yisrael. So once I'm going to skip past Pasuk Dalid, I'm not skipping to Pasuk Gimel, I'm skipping to the prior paragraph. And who's the subject of the prior paragraph? B'nai Yisrael. So who's V'heim Yikhu? V'heim Yikhu B'nai Yisrael will take. And that's consistent with all the other Parshios, that it should come from B'nai Yisrael. And that fits in well to the halacha, that of the Tosefta, and to the Rambam, and to all the other halachas. And he's solving the grammatical, the syntax issue, by saying, you're so focused on the psukim, you're losing the forest for the trees. Go look at the prior paragraph, and that this fits much better into the context. Because there's another question here which we haven't dealt with, which we'll deal with in a second, which is, why all of a sudden, by the Big Day Kahuna, are we skipping over Moshe? Everything else started with Moshe. And Moshe, here the Heim Yikhuet, why all of a sudden the Chochmei Lev getting involved? They're the ones taking the materials, right? By the Aron HaKodesh, who took the materials? It all starts with Moshe. So there's inherently something different here. So the Griz's point, yeah, says, no, well, let's try to bring it more in line with everything else and make it referring to B'nai Yisrael. So if you flip to the back page, so the Maharil Midiskin, on his commentary on the Torah, so he deals with this as well. So I will admit that I am partial to Rav Diskin, and I think I mentioned this once before. My parents are here, so I'll give you the story for 35 seconds, which is that. So the Maharil Midiskin, he made Aliyah. He was a, you know, he was an Ilui, kind of the classic story. He was very steadfast, would not waver once he said it. If he thought it was right, he would fight no matter what. So he got the classic job, he became a pulpit rabbi. So in his first town, that lasted about 6 months because he got into a fight with somebody. He was completely unwilling to, he thought he was right. That was done. So he got kicked out. He went to his next pulpit, he got kicked out. So eventually he ended up in Israel. So he moves to Israel and he sees that there is a tremendous problem. The poverty in the Yishuv HaYashin in the 1880s, 1890s was immense. And there was a tremendous problem. You had a lot of orphans, and you had people who were not being cared for. In the 1880s, 1890s, if you were an orphan, there were really only two places to go. One was the local hospital. All hospitals in Israel were run by who? They were run by missionaries. Right? So the Christians sent, just like they did missionary work all over the world, the way you do missionary work is you feed people and you heal people and you get them to come in. So if you were an orphan kid, you went to the hospital, that was the missionary. So Rav Diskin said, well, that's not acceptable because then all these Jewish kids are going to end up missionizing. There was another orphanage, but as I told you before, Rav Diskin was very this way. And the other orphanage was run by a guy who was a little bit more modern. And he was not happy with him at all. So he started his own orphanage. And that's the Diskin Orphanage. And the Diskin Orphanage had kind of just basically one rule. They took you in, and you had to learn a trade, which was a unique idea in the orphanage. Not enough, they didn't just feed you, and you had to learn a trade. So Rav Diskin, and this is actually a picture of the orphanage. The internet says it's from 1890. I'm not sure that that's correct. I think I saw something else that says it's from 1888. But there's no doubt, because it's from that year, that my grandfather is not in this picture. But in 1913, sometime between 1903 and 1917, my grandfather ended up in the Diskin Orphanage because his mother died of the flu epidemic, and he ended up in the Diskin Orphanage, and he learned a trade, which was to type in on a Hebrew typewriter. And then when his father brought him to America in 1917, because he knew how to type on a Hebrew typewriter, that made him very valuable, and he became the secretary for Bernard Revel, Rabbi Dr. Bernard Revel. And that was his trade. He learned how to, because he could type, so Rabbi Revel needed people to type his correspondence, and he could type in Hebrew on a Hebrew character. So anyways, anytime I see a parish of Rav Diskin on anything I'm dealing with, I always quote Rav Diskin because it's a family connection. So we owe a karas hatov to Rav Diskin. So I'll tell you what Rav Diskin says on this issue. Rav Diskin says, "Vehein yikhuet hazahav," means what? Yes, it is the Chochmei Lev, but it's not the Chochmei Lev to the exclusion of everybody else. It was a matir that the Heng Yichuet HaZahav, they also could give to the cause. You might have thought that what? That only the general funds could be used for the Big Day Kahuna, because the Big Day Kahuna had to be part of the general, you know, just like the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan and the Kalim had to be from the general fund. You might have thought that the Big Day Kahuna also needed to be only from the general fund. The pasuk, and this is the point of what is this pasuk doing here? Why do we need this pasuk? This pasuk is mechadish as vehein yikhuet hazahav et hatechelet, that they also are permitted to give to the cause. And it's not only communal funds, but if the Chochmei Lev were so inspired, they could give also. Why do they need to give? So this is the chiddush of Rav Diskin. He says the Big Day Kahuna needed to be made l'shma. Right? You couldn't just make a beautiful garment and then give it to the Kohen and have the Kohen wear it, and it just happened to fit the specifications. Okay, fine. Like l'shma all the time. We're by matzah, we say matzah l'shem mitzvah matzah. By anything we're doing, like by shofar, you know, if you're just walking by the outside of the shul, it's a question: are you yotze? You're not yotze. The Big Day Kahuna had to be done l'shma. In order to make sure that something is l'shma, sort of this is kind of saying like psychologically, in order to make sure it's l'shma, you have to have some kind of like vested interest in it. So in order to have the Chochmei Lev kind of say, this is not just a beautiful art project, this is not just I'm going to make these beautiful stained glass windows, but I'm making these Big Day Kahuna, and they're special, and they're l'shma, and they're l'shem mitzvah, I'm going to take some of my own money, and I'm going to donate to the Big Day Kahuna, and that will kind of like connect me to the Big Day Kahuna, make it clear that it's l'shma, it's not just a project, I haven't just been hired as an artisan to make these beautiful things, but I'm invested in it, and now that it's l'shma, then the Kohanim can take it, and it can become part of the Big Day Kahuna. So how does he explain? It says, v'hein yikhu, they will take. Who's the they? The they is the Chochmei Lev, mimamon hem. They are permitted to also take from their own money and donate it to the cause. And this pasuk is, so the chiddush, the reason why this pasuk was necessary is to teach you that they were permitted. Behen yichu, it's a chiddush. Otherwise you wouldn't have known, without this pasuk, you wouldn't have known that they were allowed to give it. And that's how he solves the issue. Now, of course, it's a chiddush also. It's a halachic chiddush that you actually have to have some ownership in order for it to do it l'shma. Because I can make you, in other instances, we don't say that. If you give me all your flour and water, I can make matzah for you. Even if I have no ownership in it, I can still make it l'shem mitzvah's matzah. So it's a chiddush that he's suggesting. But again, that's how he solves the problem. So vehein yikhu means who? It means Chochmei Lev, like Rashi and the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra. How do you deal with the Targum Yonasan? Mi mamon hom, from their money. It's a matir to allow them to use their money. So to circle back here, you see We have this one part, so there's a halacha that you have to make Bigdei Kahuna. And there's a halacha that you have to make Bigdei Kahuna for the Aaron and the Kohanim. And that section in the Chumash ends with this pasuk, Behem Yikuet HaZahav. And there's an ambiguity. What does it mean, Behem? Who is the Hem? And what does it mean, Yikhu? What does it mean they're going to take? And we see, because of that ambiguity, you see how different Mefarshim on the Chumash struggle with that ambiguity. Rashi, Ramban, and Ibn Ezra say, Behem Yikhu means who you would think. It's the Chochmei Lev. Other commentaries say, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. The immediately preceding person is who? It's Aaron Achicha. And you have this Targum Yonasan, which seemingly doesn't have another source, but all of a sudden Targum Yonasan says they should take from their money. So the Ksav HaKabbalah said, no, Behem means the Kohanim should take from their money, and perhaps for the Hashkafic reasons that we said, it was important for the Kohanim to fund it themselves. The Marami Diskin says, I'm sorry, the Grizz says, no, the Haim, you can go back further. You don't have to go back just to the prior Pasuk or prior Tupsukim. Go back to the previous stories. Who are the Haim? The Haim in those stories is B'nai Yisrael. The Haim you quit as a Ahab, who's going to take it? It's going to be B'nai Yisrael should take from their money. And then finally, so the Marami Diskin says, it's not telling you the Haim that it has to be only from their money. It's a Matir that allows them to be vested. And I think that's a beautiful idea that that when you're doing something, l'shem mitzvah, that it's better to be more invested, and it's better to take from your own money and to contribute to it, and that makes it clearer that that actually makes it l'shem mitzvah. With that, we'll end. I did skip the one commentary of the Ma'ari Mibelza, but he's a chassid, and everyone else in the packet is a litvak, so they're probably not there.
Thank you very much. Next week is Rabbi Kapi.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.